She worked on John F. Kennedy's presidential campaign, was guided through Chicago politics by Richard J. Daley, and became the first female mayor of Chicago. Today we're talking about Jane Byrne as part of the upcoming season of Chicago Stories on WTTW. And with me to talk about all this is the producer and writer of the episode, Rachel Pichelny, and the executive producer of Chicago Stories, Dan Protes. I'm Tommy Henry, and this is the Chicago History Podcast. Rachel Pichelny and Dan Protes, welcome.
Thanks so much for having us.
It's good to be here.
For the listening audience, please share a little bit of your connection to Chicago.
Well, I've spent my entire life here, with the exception of 4 years of college, and I'm a major Chicago history geek. It's been a major focus of much of my work over the last 24 years at WTTW. So all things Chicago history. Chicago history is a passion of mine. And that's what I love about doing the Chicago Stories series. We've done 3 episodes already, and we have 6 more to go. Rachel is a relative newcomer to Chicago.
Relative newcomer. I've been here for, I guess, about 20 years. I came to Chicago for college. I went to Northwestern and just kind of stayed after that. My husband is from here, so I feel like I've been in Chicago for a while. You know, Chicago's like an onion. You keep finding out more and more interesting facts the longer you live here. And that was certainly true working on this show.
Well, I love the original Chicago Stories with John Calaway back in the, I guess it was the 90s. And was thrilled to learn the new episodes were being produced, Ida B. Wells and a few of the other ones. How did Jane Byrne, and I guess, Dan, this is a question for you, how did Jane Byrne end up being one of the choices for this upcoming season starting in April?
Yeah, so actually, I worked on that original Chicago Stories with John Calaway when I was a much younger and more naive person, and got to cover the 1919 race riot, kind of got my initiation in producing Chicago history documentaries. And John Calaway was obviously a wonderful person to learn under. And as a matter of fact, he makes several cameos in the Jane Byrne episode. I know Rachel had a lot of fun going through those archives. I kind of remember you, Rachel, it seemed like you didn't have a lot of background knowledge of John Calaway, and you were really impressed. It was like, wow, didn't you say something like, he's an amazing interviewer?
Exactly. Yeah, she's kind of a tough person to interview. I think most politicians are. They answer the question that they wish was asked. But he definitely drilled down, put her on the spot. And it was just fun seeing him in his element back then. I mean, I watched Chicago Tonight, before he passed, which I think was 2009, 2010, somewhere around there. And I was a fan then, but just really seeing him in his element was exciting.
Flash forward to this year, and now I'm the executive producer of Chicago Stories, and we've revived it. And so the first 3 episodes were The Great Chicago Fire, so 1871, Ida B. Wells, turn of the last century, and The Birth of Improv, 1950s. And so when we were looking to do 6 more episodes this spring, I was looking maybe to get us a little closer to the present. As much as I love looking at old black and white photos, it was nice to move into the footage era. And so Jane Byrne was just kind of a natural, if we wanted to tackle something of more recent Chicago history, but also just a story from the 1970s and 80s that is more relevant now than ever.
I've actually watched the Jane Byrne documentary. I got advanced access to it. I've watched the episode twice now. I've seen something new each time, which I think is a sign of a pretty solid documentary. Have you gotten similar response from those not connected with the production?
Well, you're one of the few people who's actually seen it. So
is that true? Oh, wow.
Rachel, have you shown family members?
I have shown family members, yes, or a family member. And, you know, my husband, even though he grew up in Chicago or in the Chicago area, he did not know more than half of the things in the film. And I think that's probably going to be true for most of Chicagoans, you know, and that's not by accident. I mean, I think that Jane Byrne's legacy was kind of buried or erased for a long time, and it wasn't until recently that she really kind of got her due.
Certainly, her connection to John F. Kennedy's campaign, Richard J. Daley taking her under his wing, that Byrne was the first ever woman in Daley's cabinet. I hope I'm not giving too much away, but all of this stuff, I was like, I had no idea, you know, and maybe that was just because of the time that I grew up, or Rachel, to your point, that a lot of the information, you know, you just hear kind of like the top 10 bullet points, and the documentary really kind of drills down on things.
Exactly. Yeah. I mean, you know, I'm a little embarrassed to admit this. I was not alive when Jane Byrne was in office as mayor of Chicago. You know, she was elected in 1979. And she, you know, she was a trailblazer. I mean, I think Chicago was not really ready for that. And, you know, she came in and really in only 4 years, I mean, she only was in office for one term, and she did so many things that we still see around Chicago today. And I'm sure you're going to get to this a little bit later, but, you know, we talk about the festivals, the neighborhood festivals, and really, you know, recognizing the distinct cultures that are represented in Chicago. You know, I was in Ukrainian Village recently in the last couple of weeks, and you see all the Ukrainian flags outside in people's homes. And I mean, she was the person that recognized that neighborhood and its unique population. And, you know, so many other things, you know, really recognizing the gay community in Chicago. That was huge. She, you know, was the first woman in office. And so that alone made her kind of the subject of many news stories, some about the Daily News and some just about what Jane Byrne was wearing. And so, you know, she was kind of a spectacle in a lot of ways then.
Yeah, I certainly didn't follow politics as much back in the late 70s. I was alive, but I was much younger. But I recall thinking it was pretty cool. I mean, the idea of the first woman becoming mayor of Chicago. But, you know, even as a kid, I had a weird sense that even back then there was some pushback, not just from voters, but from fellow politicians and even the media. And it turns out I was right based on your documentary, because there was so much pushback. And, you know, it definitely, you know, it definitely shows, I think, both the good and the bad of her time as mayor.
Yeah, absolutely. A couple of the highlights for me are the media appearances that Rachel dug up on David Letterman, where David Letterman clearly doesn't know what to do with a woman politician. And then, of course, the vintage Oprah clip with someone named Warren. I'm not quite sure who Warren was. We opened the episode with it, and he, what does he say, Rachel? That a woman like Jane Byrne should be in the kitchen cooking breakfast for her husband, Jay.
Exactly, making eggs. That's a woman's place. And she fires back and says, you know, any woman is just as capable as any man to make change. And, you know, I'm paraphrasing here, but to go into politics. You know, she didn't just take what was thrown at her, and she definitely spoke up for herself and for all women, I think, that wanted to do things that were either unpopular or out of the ordinary. You know, I look back at that now and I think, you know, all these things that I'm able to do today, and the fact that that Chicago has the second female mayor today, and not just the second female mayor, the first gay mayor. And, you know, I think that all of those things would not have been possible unless there was a first, and she was the first. A lot of people might not know this, but Jane Byrne was the first female mayor of any major city in the country.
Didn't know
that's huge. I mean, and a lot of people don't know that. What I found interesting was that even even living in Chicago and, you know, hanging out downtown, seeing all of these plaques recognizing, you know, important Chicagoans, I never saw her name anywhere. And so, you know, that kind of makes me a little bit angry, you know, as a woman who's trying to learn about my city and the history of my city, and this person who had such an influence on the city is not anywhere. Knowing that now, I mean, you know, I'm glad that the interchange is named after her now. I'm glad that, you know, Water Tower Plaza is named after her. And I'm glad that this show was made, to be honest, because I think that people will finally learn the impact that she had. It's not to say that everything she did was completely drama-free and without any pushback. I mean, she definitely had some haters, I'm not going to lie. But she also did a lot of things that should have recognition.
You have somebody, and I forget who it is, who says, you know, I think it's great that the interchange is being named after, but it's one of the most frustrating interchanges of the city.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's so. Don Rose, her campaign manager.
Ah, yes.
He was one of a few people that said that, actually.
Ah, okay.
Yeah. But his point ultimately is history goes to the winners. You know, she was a one-term mayor and obviously succeeded by the first Black mayor, Harold Washington. But her history was not written by herself or her family until now. I think we're giving the public a little glimpse of the story from her perspective. And I think one of the things I'm really proud of about this documentary, and that I think Rachel just did an exemplary job of, was striking a balance. There's so many moments from her career, particularly her moving into Cabrini, for which she's been vilified. And I think we really struck a very careful balance of completely understanding from her perspective and her family's perspective why she moved into Cabrini Green, but also understanding why that was an insult to a lot of primarily African-Americans in Chicago and certainly to people who lived in Cabrini.
It's certainly not flowery. You know, you've got her daughter, you've got her sister, you've got people who knew her best speaking about her, but it doesn't come across one-sided, I don't think. So again, the power of a well-done documentary is to present both sides and not have that voice. So kudos again on that.
Thank you.
Yeah, and she, Rachel, I really felt like her story lent itself to that balanced portrayal. She just as a person was someone who one moment I would just be blown away by her actions and the next moment I would be horrified by something that she'd say.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, I mentioned this to you, Dan, probably halfway through making the documentary, and it just that, you know, I went from being kind of in awe of her and just surprised by everything that we were uncovering to, you know, once I learned more about some of the critiques, I was just kind of blown away and, you know, disappointed in some of the decisions that she made. I was in disbelief that she would kind of, you know, go back on her word on certain things or be so inconsistent with the media or, you know, ban the media like she did. I mean, I'm a real advocate for free speech and, you know, to ban the media from City Hall after being so friendly with them for so long. It just, you know, there were a lot of things that just made me upset. And then as we continued to work on the film, by the end of it, I had a sympathy, you know, I felt like she was up against a lot, you know, being the first woman in Daley's cabinet, being the, you know, kind of chosen successor in many ways, maybe not overtly, but she was kind of the mentee of the elder Mayor Daley. And, you know, a lot of people suspect that the reason that she never got the recognition she deserved was an intentional kind of blackout by Daley's son, Rich Daley. And that rivalry was evident in, you know, in just the lack of recognition of her in the years after her tenure. And so it would be unfair to say that she was such a wonderful mayor, and it would be unfair to say that she was the worst mayor in Chicago history. I mean, there's so much gray area in this, and we tried to really capture that while still telling the story of Jane Byrne.
Yeah, I think the hardest, if I remember correctly, the hardest decisions were how to get. So she faced three strikes.
Schools,
yeah,
the transit, and the firefighters.
So packing those three strikes into what ended up probably being 2 or 3 minutes. But, you know, there was initially, I think that was a good 10 minutes. And a lot of this, again, echoes what the city is facing now, in particular, her tumultuous relationship with the teachers union, not so dissimilar to what Mayor Lightfoot and Rahm Emanuel before her have dealt with.
And certainly getting police vaccinated and all the pushback from the, that's, boy, a lot to go up against. And honestly, it's something that I wrote here in my notes. Looking at her first year of politics, all I could think was, why would anybody want to get involved in politics if this is what you have to deal with every day, having people, you know, throwing verbal assaults?
And that on top of the fact that she was a woman, like, we can't forget that.
Oh,
and people, you know, if they maybe hated her a little bit, they hated her so much more because she was a woman, you know? Yeah. And so every little thing she did was scrutinized. If she wore the wrong thing, if she said the wrong thing, if she was too aggressive, if she was too like docile, she couldn't appease everyone. And that was true through her tenure and afterwards too. And I think people try to kind of tie it up in a bow and say, well, you know, well, that was a waste. Like, those 4 years didn't matter. She didn't do anything. But, you know, when you really look back, she did.
We'll be right back.
Are you a Caribbean American? Are you looking for a podcast that truly speaks to your culture and identity? Look no further than Carry On Friends, the ultimate destination for all things Caribbean American, hosted by me, Carrie Ann. Dive deep into topics such as culture, heritage, and everyday life through the unique lens of the Caribbean American experience. You'll walk away feeling more connected to your roots. Follow and listen on Apple Podcasts so you'll never miss an episode of Carry On Friends, the Caribbean American experience. Your Caribbean American community awaits.
We should also mention a few of the key interviewees, namely Lori Lightfoot, the second woman mayor of Chicago. I mean, if there's anyone out there who understands what Jane Byrne went through, it's Lori Lightfoot. And she has some great, she chimes in on how Jane Byrne was treated as a woman in office, but also just on the surprises when you get into office. I think that's a highlight for me when Jane Byrne is, she shuns the people she calls the evil cabal, the Eddies, and Ed Verdoliak. And then once she's in office, she realizes, oh, wow, I need city council's cooperation. And I got the sense that Lori Lightfoot, when you started asking her about that, knew not that she would ever identify with cozying up to Ed Burke, but I think Lori Lightfoot definitely knew where Jane Byrne was coming from when she needed city council's support to get done what she wanted to get done for the city. And the other two key interviewees were, of course, two reporters who covered the Byrne campaign and her time in office, David Axelrod, who at the time was a young reporter, and Carol Marine, both of whom I thought just gave Rachel's just spectacular interviews. Carol Marine is obviously amazing.
Yeah, Carol Marine, I'm a little bit of a super fan. Like, it was such an honor to interview her. And, you know, just thinking about what it must have been like for a woman at that time to cover that election and to cover Mayor Byrne in office and to see all of the things that she saw, you know, did that affect the way that she reported on the story? I think it probably did.
Yeah, I think it would be difficult for her to say, no, it didn't have any effect on it at all. I mean, she had to be a little bit in awe, being that much younger and, you know, trying to be professional, but being excited for this woman coming into this role. No, I mean, all of your interview people, there wasn't a point where I looked and was like, oh, this guy's not really pulling his weight. Everybody was top notch in it. So a few more questions for you. Here's one for each of you. What was the most surprising thing you each learned producing the Jane Byrne segment?
The most surprising thing. I'm not sure it was one single thing.
Oh.
but just the number of things that she was responsible for. And, you know, I think that viewers will also be surprised to learn that she and her team dreamed up Jazz Fest and all of the neighborhood festivals. She was the first mayor to implement that. She was, again, very supportive of the gay community and, you know, rode in the parade, the Pride Parade. You know, she introduced a bill that would prevent police from raiding gay bars at the time. And I think you look around Chicago and you start to recognize that this would not be the city that it is without Jane Byrne as mayor at that time.
For my part, I think, as I mentioned, the Cabrini Green, I had always, I think, personally referred to it as the stunt, the Cabrini stunt. Understanding that from her sister's, obviously she's not alive to tell her own story, Jane Byrne, but her sister's perspective, that she really felt, that Jane Byrne really felt like she wanted to draw attention to a problem in the city and was using the power of her bully pulpit to try to draw attention to violence at Cabrini. I thought that was, and in many, many points in the documentary, I just think getting to hear from her daughter, Kathy, who was an excellent interview, and her sister, I thought was really new and refreshing for me. Also, I had always thought of Jane Byrne as the candidate who bucked the machine, who'd, you know, come up under Richard J. Daley and kind of was raised in the machine, but ultimately was ushered into office by breaking with the machine and particularly by courting the Black vote. What I didn't really understand was the ways in which she kind of, I don't want to say embraced the machine, but did ultimately, as we said, had to kind of cozy up to Ed Burke and Edward Oleac in order to get her agenda pushed forward. And the extent to which her, the Black community really felt like she had, they brought her in office and that she had turned her back on them in many ways.
And Rachel, this one's going to be specifically for you, as you've spent much more time getting into the head of Jane Byrne, I think. If you had a chance to ask Jane Byrne a question today, what would it be?
Oh, such a good question. Was it worth it? It was really difficult for her, I think, to be in that position. You know, she was a very strong woman, you can tell, and she did face a lot. But I wonder sometimes if her life would have been easier if she did not run for mayor. I wonder what her life would have been like and, you know, what she would have gone on to do. And I guess I would like to know if it was worth it and what else she would have done with her life if not run for mayor.
Rachel Perkelny and Dan Protes, I want to thank both of you for being on. The new season of Chicago Stories starts Friday, April 1st with the Jane Byrne episode. I want to wish you both well with future projects.
Thanks so much.
Good to be here. Thanks.
For listening to our discussion about the first episode of the new season of Chicago Stories, Jane Byrne. Big thanks to my guests, Rachel Perkelny and Dan Protes, and thanks to WTTW for putting us together. I have a brief list of links to books as well as other related items in the show's notes, as well as on the Chicago History Podcast website at chicagohistorypod.com if you or someone you know is a history nerd like me who would like to learn more. Anything ordered through those links, not just the items listed, may earn a small commission for the podcast and help offset production costs at no additional cost to you. If you don't already, please follow the show on social media as I update Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram throughout the week with articles, pictures, and behind-the-scenes tidbits to enhance the episodes. As always, if you have any questions about anything covered today, anything to add, or have an idea for a future episode, I'd love to hear about it. Send me an email at chicagohistorypod@gmail.com. The amazing art for the Chicago History Podcast used on the social media pages was created by John K. Schneider. Thanks, John. He can be found at AngelEyesArtJKS on Instagram or via email at AngelEyesArtJKS@gmail.com. And we'll be back soon with more stories from Chicago's history. Until then, get out and explore when possible. Learn more about whatever city you live in and stay safe.